Mendoza, it is your turn. We're glad to have you here tonight, Brother Romeo Mendoza and his wife Rose, missionaries to the Philippine Islands, to the island of Samar, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So anyway, good to have you.
It's good to be here, sir. And before I say anything else, I'd like to share a song, a couple of verses in Tagalog and one in English. Jesus paid it all. In Tagalog, on John 3:16, it says, "Sapagkat gayon na lamang ang pagsinta ng Diyos sa sanlibutan na ibinigay niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak upang ang sinumang kanya'y sumampalataya ay huwag mapahamak kundi magkaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romeo, and my wife's name is Rose. Could you please stand? We have three children, Genesis and Faith, twin girls, both married now. Faith, the second twin, is going to have a baby, our first grandchild. So from here, we're going to go California, but we will not be driving. It's too far to be driving for old folks like us. So we will fly. And we have our other son. My son is Romeo Jr. So they're all married, and I'd like to thank Pastor for allowing us to be a part of your Wednesday service. And I got saved at age 33 aboard a U.S. warship coming back from deployment to Desert Shield, Desert Storm in 1993, June 8 to be exact. There was a guy, a chief in the Navy, was conducting a Bible study, and I so happened that I was there for 3 nights. He was asking, "If you should die tonight, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven?" In my head, I got something in my head, right? He said, we're going to Korea, we're going to the Philippines, we're going to Thailand. I have plan, bad plan, sinful plan. But on that last night before we pulled in into Thailand, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I asked the Lord to save me. I trusted Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, as for forgiveness, and He saved me. So upon return to Homeport, our pastor asked me to do all kinds of stuff. Groundskeeping, clean the bus, restroom, door knocking, soul winning, and so on and so forth. And I even asked, "I'd like to sing. Could I sing in the choir?" Pastor said, "No, you need to be baptized first before you do any ministry." I said, "Well, I already be cleaning the restroom and I clean everything, you know, grounds and the bus." He said, "All right, Sunday you will be baptized first. So you will be officially doing ministry for the Lord." And door knocking and so on and so forth. Even during that time, seatbelt was not mandatory. I only had a 2-seater car. The trunk is so wide open. So I asked my friend's kids if I could bring them to church. I said, "Sure you can." So I got 5 or 6 kids in there, just laid them down. I said, don't do anything, don't move, because we will be going to church. These kids got saved, so does their parents. So the Lord has called me to do something, I just don't know what it was. 2015, I went back to the Philippines. I was asked to speak on a graduation. My sister was the principal at the high school. And I did, and I gave my testimony. I did Bible verses in that graduation ceremony. Remember, that's a public school. And after that, somebody, the parents asked me, we never heard of such speech that you gave Bible verses and whatever it was, testimony. I said, "Well, after this event, I'd like to share with you what this is all about." So in the Philippines, that Friday, the following week is Holy Week, and that everything stops. No buses, no jeepneys, no tricycle, no boats. So I got stuck in the island for a week, and I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And He kind of told me, you know, go visit your friends, go knock on your doors, relatives' doors, and tell them about the gospel, tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we did. 2 Bible studies a day for 5 days. To make story short, 39 souls got saved came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, another hint that this is probably what the Lord wants me to do. Came back 2016, the Lord opened for me to go to Bible college. And in there, while I was at Tabernacle Baptist Bible College and Seminary, there was some mission conference. And there I got convicted. And there the Lord spoke to my heart, mission is the one I'm calling you to do. But I said, Lord, I think my prayer would be, I believe my prayer would be, since you called me, please call my wife too. Because I won't be able to do this on my own. So my wife answered the call also, and she retired early from being a registered nurse. So now we are on deputation. We've been on deputation since November. And with that, we would like to ask earnestly your prayers that we will be sent to churches of like faith, like yours, who will be willing to partner to bring the gospel to the forgotten people of Samar, Philippines. And we have a video to shoot to you. Hey, Philippines. Well, I'm a Filipino. I've been in the States for 42 years now. However, I still think and I still, my mind and my tongue is coordinated just like I'm still speaking in Tagalog. So I've got to write down the notes to share with you. Because in the island where I came from, there is no distinction between the I and E and O and U. So for 17 years of my life, I was from elementary until high school. That's all I know. And even the teachers were not correcting us because they also mispronounced words. Until I went to college in Manila. I failed my freshman college, by the way. But so I have to write down my notes. Anyway, the Philippines, 22,500 miles of coastline, composed of more than 7,200 islands, plus or minus. It depends when you count it during high tide or low tide. High tide, number goes down. And only 700 or 10% of the islands are inhabited. 11 containing most of the population, the Luzon in the northern part, and then the Mindanao in the southern part. And in the central part is where we're going, Samar, in the eastern side of that. So it's bordered China on the north side, and then of course South China is here, and you get Pacific Ocean and Singapore on the left-hand side of that. It's a fifth-class municipality. What does it mean? Fifth-class municipality is only farming and fishing. And if you go to church there on Sunday, you only see women and children. It's because the men are still out there working in the field and in catching some fish so they could survive for the day or for the next day. Even missionaries, Filipino missionaries, doesn't last in that area because there is no work. They have to find a job on their own to support. So there is an outreach ministry right now in the island of Samar, Pagsanghan. So when we get there, we will be of help to them, to him and his family. Maybe we'll train more men. So when we leave, they'll be able to sustain so we could do more work in the other parts of that island. 120 million Filipinos, the entire islands of the entire Philippines, 120 million. And compare that to United States, 338 million. But compared to Nebraska, the land mass of the Philippines is only 1.5 times bigger than Nebraska. But we have 120 million people, and you guys got 2 mil. Well, it's probably going to change with the illegal immigrants coming, so the number is going to go up. I'm not going to go on that route, right? There are 22 languages, 111 dialects, and the 22 languages, I can speak 5 of them. So when I preach this in the island, it has to be retranslated 2 or 3 times because this group here will not understand this group. And probably when I get there, we'll speak Tagalog or English, so we'll understand, we'll be in the same page. 10% of the Filipinos are out of the country. They're looking for jobs outside. And 2 of those jobs are nursing, and merchant marine. In the United States, there's about 4.5 million Filipinos in the States. And 28% of the 4.5 millions are nurses. During COVID, 31% of the nurses that died are Filipinos. So the other one is 54% of all merchant marines are Filipinos, those who ride on cargo ships and so on and so forth. So we export two professions, nurses and merchant marines. And according to our video presentation, 80% of the Filipinos are Catholics. We are the only Christian country in the entire Asia. 60% of the entire population of the world are in Asia. 4.8 billion people, 60%. And the fifth largest Christian country, aside from US, Brazil, Mexico, and Russia. So a couple of years ago, my wife and I went to a missionary camp. Yeah, we're the oldest folks in that missionary camp. And that's the only camp we've been a part of. We don't know what camp is. Our kids went to Christian camp, but not older folks like us. So we were the old folks in there. But it was an experience that we will never forget. So we went to camp. We had our missionary training. We went to the Philippines for our mini mission trip. And there's a need. There's a need for workers who are going to the field to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, the harvest is plenteous. We need workers. And hopefully, some of you folks are listening. Maybe you're being called to do work full-time ministry. You consider the Philippines. And by the way, before I forget, we have pamphlets over there from our mission board. Check it out. You might find the place where you want to go. We have Asia, we have Africa, we have Europe and North America and so on and so forth. And since we're missionaries, so I'm going to share with you mission devotion this evening. Yes, we will be teaching and preaching about missions. We'll share some statistics and other researches. So the word mission came from the Latin word missio in the late 1500, meaning one sent off. The act of sending or dispatching, same root word that of a missile. We have a few military folks in there, so they know what it means. And probably know this, that the word mission, missionaries, and missions are not found in the Bible, but it is for certain, it is illustrated and commanded in the scripture, and these words have become part of our Christian vocabulary. Though mission or missions are not found in the Bible, like what I said, this is ordained, this is illustrated, and matter of fact, Jesus Christ, which our text tonight says, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. You don't have to ride bus. You don't have to fly thousands and thousands of miles to be a missionary. Mission starts at home. Mission starts here at your church. Mission starts across the street. And if you're a student, mission starts across your desk. Mission is what Jesus came. So what about missions? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A few other parallel passages also in the scripture of the same text. Also found in Matthew 28, I just spoke. In Luke chapter 24, 46 to 48, and also Acts 1:8, which is behind our in front of our prayer card. And by way of introduction in our text, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8 is the interaction between Mary Magdalene along with the other women and a young man clothed in white garment, right? Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. When they came to see Jesus 3 days after he was buried, the young man clothed in white garment told the women that the tomb was empty and instructed the women to tell Jesus' disciples, including Peter, to meet them in Galilee as he instructed them prior. In verses 9 to 13, the Lord Jesus showed himself to Mary, confirming that he indeed is alive. And so Mary narrated to the apostles what she just experienced. But some believe not. Some believe not. In verse 14, the Lord Jesus appeared unto his disciples in Galilee 40 days after his resurrection. He kind of rebuked them. He reprimanded them with their unbelief and hardness of their heart. These men were with Jesus the last 3 years. So what power Jesus possessed? As a matter of fact, Jesus, and during his earthly ministry, raised a few individuals from the dead. And if he was able to raise others from the dead, why can't he raise himself, which he promised he would, and whom some of the prophets prophesied? So the Lord Jesus gave his last command before he ascended into heaven, the command to go. So what was his last instruction all about? Three takeaways or three main points to consider with regards to mission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. First, mission is the passion of Christ. Back to our text. And he said unto them, go ye. It is the resolve. It is the heart. It is the nature and the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If mission was not in our Savior's heart, he would not order his disciples to go. Why? Because even himself went all of Galilee preaching and teaching. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 8:11 also reads, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus preached and taught salvation to lost souls. Luke 19:10. Luke penned what the Lord Jesus said, emphasizing and adding the word seek. Of the same text that we just read in Matthew 18. He was talking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus probably was just same size as me. So he went up on a tree, right? And Jesus told him, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. By the way, and if you have visitors here, if you have friends in here, the Lord is seeking for you. You are not seeking Jesus Christ. You are not seeking Jesus. The Lord Jesus is seeking you. I was even belligerent during that underway period, coming back from deployment. I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. But Jesus was persistent in seeking me. And he got a hold of my heart. Someone explained to me the gospel. And somebody invited me to church after I got saved. You see, Jesus came down from heaven with one thing in his mind: to save those that are lost. He passioned in his heart to seek and to save those that are lost. In chapter 1 of Mark, 35 to 37, Jesus woke up early and found a place to be alone and prayed. Simon and the other apostles followed him and told the Lord Jesus that all men were looking for him. Jesus answered, Mark 1, verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. There's urgency in Jesus' words, knowing that he only had a few years on earth. He says, let's do missions in other towns. During Jesus' time, there were two roads from Judea to the northern territory of Galilee. One is shorter than the other. Devout Jews avoided the route through Samaria and preferred the longer route than to travel among people they detested, the Samaritans. John 4:4 reads, and he must needs to go through Samaria. The must of this verse was not necessary, imposed by geographical restrictions, but rather the route through Samaria was a necessary way because the Lord Jesus knows somebody, a woman, needed to hear him preach. The must is a necessity, is a necessary word that was imposed there, that was given to him by the Holy Spirit when John wrote it. Let's look closer at this text. John chapter 4, all right? John chapter 4, verses 7 to 15 is the interaction between the Lord Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In verse 7, Jesus was the one asking for the drink. All right, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And then in between that, there are some exchange. There's some words exchanged. Jump to verse 15. It was now the woman asking for the water to drink. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus' heart was filled with love for the lost. He went the route other Jews would not dare. In our daily conversation, in our daily walk, there's one person waiting to hear the gospel. But sometimes we avoided talking to people. Probably when you went to work this morning, when you went to school this morning, probably you discussed about politics, what happened last night. But what happened last Monday when you heard a preaching from the pastor Sunday morning, Sunday night, during the Sunday school? Did you even share to them what you've heard? But we like to talk. Would you like to ask them, hey, I can listen to you for 15, 20 minutes about sports and politics. How about if you give me 5 minutes to share with you what I heard last night from the Word of God? Sometimes we're afraid to offend people. When was the last time we purposely went through Jesus' pathway, through Jesus' route? When was the last time we walked alongside or with Jesus? When was the last time we shared the gospel? When was the last time we invited folks to church? When was the last time we gave out tracts? According to Gallup research, about 47% of the U.S. population are considered unchurched. 47%. 85% of this 47% folks said no one invited them to church. No one invited them to church. That's about 180. That's a lot. That's millions. It's not just a pastor's job or the deacon's jobs and their wives to invite folks to church. It's all our job. It's all our job. During this mission journey, mission deputation, we had a privilege to knock on doors in Kenosha. Pastor said, we're going to the place, this is, you know, the worst part of Kenosha. I said, all right, because the worst folks also, they need a savior. So we knock on doors. We distributed some literatures and outside of high school in Waukegan High. There's about 1,000 students. 6 men from another church there in Great Lakes. So we went out. And last Saturday, we went door knocking in Bellevue, along with some folks there from the Air Force Base. You see, there's always an opportunity for all of us. It don't have to be Tuesdays or Saturdays. Just make sure you have something in your pocket. Now, when you open your mouth, hey, by the way, I'd like to invite you to church. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you like to come to church? Hear our pastor preach about salvation. Consider this study done by Pew Research. As of 2020, this is pre-COVID, the number of Americans who identify as Christian was about 64%. In 2010, it was 75%. And 50 years ago, in 1970, the number was 90%. Understand the word Christians here. These are not the folks that are born again believers. These are the folks who goes to church in other denominations. But less than 20% are actually born again believers. There's a lot of folks out there, see, Christians, but they are not saved. So let's put the again in perspective. 85% of the unchurched folks said no one invited them to church. We need to get busy. We need to get busy. Understand, God had only one missionary. God had only one eternal begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God made him a missionary. First, mission is the passion of Christ. Secondly, mission is the hope of the condemned. Back to our text. Is that I preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every individual. Preach the gospel to every people group, all ethnicity, all color, all race, every individual of every people group, ethnicity, and tribe that have not trusted Christ are all condemned. The Lord Jesus said in John 3:18, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There are 8 billion people in the world, and it's climbing fast. 2,145 people groups without a copy of the Bible in their own language. Of the 100 largest people groups without a copy of the scripture in their language, 99 of them are in Asia. And with this great number of people, someone or somebody must tell them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus preached to all people, young and old, rich and destitute. As written in Mark, Matthew 19, 16 to 22, Mark 10, 17 to 27, and Luke 18 to 27. There's a few declarations that there is hell and that place is awful. Look at this in Luke 18 to 27. A rich ruler asked Jesus, all right? You know the story here. Luke 18:18-27. A rich ruler asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 18. Jesus enumerated the commandments with regards to human relationship, of which the young man responded that all these things have I kept since youth. Verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. Jesus told to sell everything he possessed and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. However, upon hearing this, the young ruler went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. He just can't do what the Lord Jesus was asking him to do. Oh boy, he's got excuse. And so do we, don't we? We have excuse. I don't know about your soul winning program. I don't know if you guys go on door knocking, but it's irregardless. Our mission field is across the street. If you carry your Bible on Sunday, and hopefully our neighbors know that you're a Christian. If your neighbors and classmates and friends doesn't know you're a Christian, that's our mission field there. That is a mission work. Luke 16, 27 to 28. You know this. Luke 16, all right? The story of poor Lazarus and the rich man. Both died, and the rich man was being tormented in hell, while Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. 27, Luke 16, 27. When he, this is a rich man, when he said, I pray, then he said, I should say, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Preach the gospel to every creature. It's the desires, the longing, it's the wishes of people, even those who are condemned in hell. Why? Mark 10:27, it says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Even rich people, they need a savior. They might have all the wealth, but they can take their wealth with them to heaven. We need to share the gospel with them. Before we left our this journey here as in our dip station, I had a privilege to team up with another missionary who goes on board ships, cargo ships there in Norfolk and Chesapeake. So we boarded, we stayed there for 6 to 8 hours. In between lunch, they only have 30 minutes break because they cannot take break. Even in port, they got to work, they got a pain, they got so on and so forth, maintenance. So that 30 minutes, it's staggered. After they eat, they're supposed to go take a shower, and then we ask them, we sit with them while they're eating. We're not bothering them, but we just talk to them. To make stories short, while we're there, we share with them the gospel. We share with them transportation if they want to go outside shopping after working hours. 15 souls got saved on 8 ships that we boarded. There are people who are eager, who are ready to receive, to listen, to hear God's word if we just open our mouth. Even if they slam the door, it's okay. Because it's not they're not slamming the door on you. They're slamming the door on Jesus. Dr. Yoho, one of my professors at the seminary, said this: No man is prepared to live until he is prepared to die. And no man is prepared to die until he is prepared to meet God. And no man is prepared to meet God until he has met the Son of God. You see, the lost souls here on earth may not recognize it, but the condemned in hell know there's hope for the lost. Without the gospel, man is hopeless. Without the gospel, man is hellbound. Their desire, their wish, their hope is that someone would visit their families to testify God's loving gospel. Their hope is missions, for they recognize the urgency of the hour. And if anyone here just got saved recently, if you're an older folks, I hope your children and your grandchildren knows that you're a Christian. Share with them. Share with them the joy of what salvation means. It may be already too late for these condemned souls in hell. However, there are still people in the circle of friends alive and eager to hear God's salvation. They are prisoners of their own sin. They're prisoners needed to be free from the devil, imprisoned by sin of greed, addictions, or fornications, or hate, imprisoned by suffering all kinds of griefs, imprisoned by fear and anxiety. Let me ask this question. What thrills you as a Christian, as a soul winner, or as a witness for Christ? Is it the simplicity of the gospel or the sufficiency of the gospel? You see, the gospel is both simple and sufficient. If one has a childlike faith, it's sufficient enough to save a lost soul. Calling upon the name of the Lord by faith, it's simple enough to save a soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. And what troubles you as a Christian, as a soul winner, as a witness for Christ? Is it the ignorance of so many lost souls? Or is it the indifference of so many Christians? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The question is not, will the heathen be saved if you don't send them the gospel? But rather, are we ourselves obedient to God's command if we do not preach or send somebody to preach the gospel? We know this, Romans 10. Verse 14 to 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Everybody has cell phones. They probably have dozens, maybe a hundred of names in your list. You know them personally. That's why they have them on your list. How about inviting them one at a time? How about sharing with them one verse at a time? Romans 3:23. It's a good conversation. See, you cannot be ashamed or be afraid if somebody slamming your door because you're doing your soul winning with your fingers. One name at a time. First mission is the passion of Christ. Secondly, mission is the hope of the condemned. Lastly, mission is the barometer of the church. Our text again, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world. This last point is the yardstick. This last point is the measuring tool. It is the measuring scale, and it's the temperament of the church with regards to personal and world evangelization could be measured. So you ask, where is my mission field? Where is your own little world? Individually or as a church, this last point will determine the temperature of our involvement with regards to mission. The last command of Jesus must have been one of the dearest desires of his heart. Since salvation through Christ has been provided for all, then it must be proclaimed to all. Because the mission of the Lord and his church is missions. To preach the gospel here and abroad. Go ye into all the world. This was a command, not a suggestion. I'm a military. I was a military. I was E1, E2, and when my chief, my first class, my E5, tell me to take the trash out, clean the toilet, I didn't say, why me? I didn't say, when? I said, aye, aye, sir. Aye, aye, chief. Because we know what command means. A command need to be obeyed. By the way, the idea of faith that should go into all the world wasn't part of Jewish thinking at that time. It wasn't part of the pagan thinking either. It was a revolutionary idea during the time. And this command was not obeyed immediately. For many, many, many years, the apostles just stayed in Jerusalem until the church was scattered. And then Paul came into the picture. Paul was a designated preacher to the Gentiles. Paul's plan and God's plan, sovereign plan, made sure that the gospel will be spread throughout the world. Every soldier of the cross must obey the marching orders of Christ, our great commander. Spurgeon said that. And you all probably heard this before. It says, the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Not all are called to travel overseas to be missionaries. We could start at home, as mentioned earlier. Start here. That's our mission field. To conclude, Christ alone can save the lost world, but Christ employs all of us to point them to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we willing to get the gospel to some area of the world where Christ has not been preached? In the land where we're going, those are the forgotten people. Those forgotten people also need a Savior in Jesus Christ. My last quote, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said this, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." To that, my wife and I covet your earnest prayers and your partnership as we answer the Lord's call to bring the gospel to the forgotten people of Samar. Let's pray. Our God.